hey neighbors, welcome next door. This is Hottie, and for our Hallownilla, did I say that right? Event here in the Hallownilla spirit, Halloween spirit, I figured I would invite you guys to join me as I carve this year's pumpkin. So I've got it all set up. I think I've got my supplies and thought we could just hang out for a while we do this little fun project. So grab your spiced apple cider. I had some of mine earlier. There's plenty to go around, and we'll wait for the great pumpkin together here and carve up a little jack-o'-lantern or something. I've got all my supplies set up here, so let me see if I can introduce you to the setup. I've got the table with the tarp down to protect it. So that's all nice and neat. And then, of course, I've got the pumpkin. Sounds a little heavy, I guess. I tried not to get one too big, so it wouldn't take too long to carve up. And I could also port it around, but the pumpkin here. Do I need to add a pumpkin slapping tag to this audio now? This is a good pumpkin right there. And then we have a bowl with where I started putting some of the guts. I did a little sound check while I cut out the initial hole. And that's the bowl where I'll be putting the guts, and there's some seeds and such already in there. Let's see what else. We've got our bucket of tools with little carving implements. So since I did the first cut with the big knife, that's this guy. Here we go. I kind of sliced off some of the pumpkin. You get all kinds of sounds, and I won't need to use the big knife too much more, so I'm going to put it a little bit further back. There we go. Okay, so now that we've got then I've also got a little scoop. I've actually got two. This one's plastic. Makes a little different noise. So we'll be scraping all the guts of the pumpkin out with a scoop. And then I've got my design for the pumpkin there that we can tape on. And in the tool bucket, we have this little thing. I don't know if you can hear it spinning, but it's got little nodules on it, so we can use that to trace essentially the design onto the pumpkin. And then we've got some other scrapey doodads that are smaller, and various little carving, like I said, carving implements with some jagged edges. Help us get out the details. So those will be some of the things you hear as we go along, and I'll try to post how this turns out for you to see. So interestingly, and I'm just gonna kind of ramble along as we hang out here. It's nice to have just some time doing something chill before the whole, you know, holiday rush season becomes upon us. Just scrape out all these guts and seeds. Interestingly, go into this bin over here. That might be too loud. There we go. Interestingly, usually when I've carved pumpkins before, which granted I guess is a limited number of times, I have always cut out the hole from the top of the stem so that thinking that's the proper way, then you have a handle to pull out the piece that you've cut out. But this little pumpkin carving guide that I got suggested that you cut out the bottom of the pumpkin. So that is what I've done this time. So the benefit, I think, of having cut out the bottom is that, well, one, I don't have a terribly big pumpkin. Like I said, I wouldn't be able to carry it, and I also didn't want to take too much time to clean out. That seems to be the part that you forget about carving, just like all the prep time you have to do when you paint something. The prep time takes more than the fun part, which is rolling the paint on the wall. Looking at my two other tools, now that I've gotten most of the guts out, what I want to use next to start getting some of this pumpkin stringiness out. But the benefit now is that there's no hole that I had to cut near the top, such that it's taking away space from the design, so my design is not pushed to the bottom. So once I set it all up with the handle, it'll be pointing and reflecting the light outward towards the top versus towards the bottom, because we can put the design up near the top of our little gourd here instead of having, like I said, the hole that we cut out of it taking up too much space. So this is kind of an interesting way of going about it. I also got a pumpkin, and he sort of has one flat side. I don't know exactly how you gender pumpkins, so I may call him a he. Let's start getting my hand in there and scraping the side some more. Yeah, it kind of has a flat side, but that also means that there's this other side that kind of like he's pouting his chest or something, sticking out his chest. It'd be like the Mr. Macho Man. And so that's also going to be a good, that will also be good surface so that the design gets pointed towards folks walking by the pumpkin instead of towards the ground. Alright, so now we're kind of doing the turkey Christmas thing. We've got to stick the hand into the hole that I made to get around and get all this guts. So some extra wet sounds from the guts, I guess. So squishy. My hand wasn't messy before, it is now. So, I don't know if people actually ever use the guts of their pumpkin for stuff. I never have. It just usually goes in the trash. This little thing that I'm scraping out with it is sort of triangular and has a flat edge that helps me get against the inside of the pumpkin and get all the stringiness out. I know I have before taken all the seeds and separated them from the guts, thinking I might do something with them, but I don't think I ever actually did. I think maybe some people roast them or something. Could be good. But I just feel like once your hands have been all over it, I'm not sure. Not that my hands aren't clean, but they started clean. It just seems a little icky to do anything with them, with the insides of the pumpkin that you carve out for Halloween. We never did a lot of big Halloween traditions when I was growing up. It's kind of been thing I've done more later in life. We went trick-or-treating and that kind of stuff too. I don't know, I think we trick-or-treated till once you were a teenager you were too old to trick-or-treat, so maybe until 13 or something. Never got big into costumes. It's just something you're gonna wear once one night, so. Although I guess you could say the same for wedding dresses, and people certainly put a lot of money into those too, but I was often in favor of just something simple or making your costume out of paper mask or something. I made paper kitten ears. And then paper kitten ears, put hairpin them into my hair. And then you take a little black lipstick and draw some nose and whiskers on, and that was, that's about it. I don't mean to say I didn't wear clothes, but I wore some black outfit and, called that the costume. One year, but at my place of work now, as an adult, they have some folks who really go all out and are all about Halloween. I'm making some progress here on the insides here. So we have big Halloween parties. Some usually, most years at work, and they want you to dress up and have a Halloween costume contest. So I have also taken the best last minute costume prize before by doing basically a work-related inside joke that I kind of made last minute that people liked. One year I did go as a hot nurse, probably not as the hot nurse that you're thinking about. What I did was go to the thrift shop and buy some scrubs. Or found some scrubs at the thrift shop. Thrift shops are great places for Halloween costumes. And then I made some paper flames and stuck them on my scrubs, so that was how I was a hot nurse. I did walk around with lollipops, so while it was suitable for work, it was definitely a little bit suggestive. Got a few looks. I don't know, it's Halloween, might as well be whimsical. I don't know if you would actually ever make, I don't think you would make pumpkin pie out of this pumpkin gut stuff. Seems like something you would put in your pet's diet for other reasons. I do like pumpkin pie. Pecan pie. Yeah, I usually say pecan. Although there's definitely folks I've been around and grew up saying pecan pie. I don't know if you really have those till Thanksgiving versus Halloween, but just thinking of different traditions. There's other things I really haven't done. I mean, I was never, didn't really like to be scared or surprised or go to haunted houses. Not my thing, not my deal. But whatever floats your boat, you know? But even on, like, the lighter side, I'm thinking about, like, they folks would have fall carnivals or something. I'm trying to think what you might do with those. Carving out the inside of this taking longer than I remember, but we'll get there. Suppose there's no rush. But I was thinking, do you ever really like bob for apples? Seems like one of those things that you hear or see on TV, but I don't know if people actually do it. And for some reason, that seems like a. There's our pumpkin moving around. Fall thing, caramelizing apples. Scraping. This is Halloween. I didn't know whether I should put on any music. Put us in the spirit. Play the Monster Mash or anything. That's usually the song for the catwalk at our costume party. Get to walk the catwalk to the Monster Mash. Another costume I've thought of and I haven't done yet is Purple People Eater. Seems like it might be a fun thing to put together. One-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people eater. My take on that is that he's purple and he eats people, not that he eats purple people, you know? But that would be an interesting take, too. You, like, got a purple, I don't know, Ken doll or something, and walked around, or a headless one, that would be good. Headless one to indicate you were eating it. Oh, I can remember at Halloween parties, like I said, caramel apples seem to be a big thing at fall. But also, you know, at the kids' Halloween parties, and they would have the different things that would you'd have to stick your hand in and feel. And be like grapes, and they tell you that it's eyeballs, right? Or spaghetti. It's probably some kind of guts. Maybe a different kind of noodle was supposed to be your brains. And then there's always some parent with their hand in the last one just trying to spook you out. Freak you out. Okay, it's starting to get pretty hollow here. Let's see. We've got most of the big stuff. Now it's just a matter of how much stuff that's guts that are stuck to the side do we need to get. I guess my goal is usually that it should be yellow in here, not orange. It might not have to be quite that clean. The Nightmare Before Christmas movie was another thing that didn't really do much as a little kid, but some other folks I knew were really into it as an adult, and so we've had fun with that at Halloween before. I do enjoy the singing and the musical piece of it. I get all these little pieces to go into the bowl. So one year I actually found that on Halloween, the local movie theater was having like a special showing of The Nightmare Before Christmas just on that night. That was kind of a neat thing to do. I can't always hang around for trick-or-treaters. I'm never actually sure what you're gonna get. Whether you're gonna get a mob scene, or it's gonna be so sparse. And if it rains, it's really questionable. It also seems to depend on what part of the week Halloween falls on. And what is it this year? Oh, I don't remember. I want to say, I think it's a Thursday night this year, is that right? If you're listening to this, you're probably screaming at me as to whether it's yes or no. But particularly on those Friday, Saturday nights is when you get the really big crowds for trick-or-treating. So, and then I have given out things before, and then it's like, oh, no peanuts, and the other house is giving us two. Just, geez, guys. So sometimes I feel like it's just more peaceful to go turn off the light and not even stay home and pretend you're not home, because I feel like that doesn't always work, but actually just leave and go somewhere else. Find someone else's Halloween party to go to, or find something else to do. Like I said, go to the movies. Just skip Dodge for a while. Get out of town. Enjoy the things you enjoy in the spirit in which you enjoy them. Okay, I'm starting to get some more to this tool, I think. Make sure I use the flat edge, not just the corner. Pick up these little things that are falling out. Oh, another thing I've seen done with pumpkin guts, well, I guess not the guts, although sometimes there are some interesting pumpkin displays, as I'm sure you've seen on the internets, and the interwebs, that involve the guts of the pumpkin as if there was actually a pumpkin murder. Or Jack-O-Lantern's murder, I don't know. First name Jack, last name O'Lantern. Would that make him Scottish or something? I don't know. But anyway, he ends up on someone's front lawn. And why not? I mean, it's much better to have guts of on your front lawn instead of, on purpose, instead of on accident because you have rowdy teenagers in the neighborhood. Sometimes I'm worried that when I turn off my light and go away that I'll come back and my house will be egged or teepees because somebody really wanted more candy on their route, but so far so good. When I was growing up, we lived at the very end of a long street, and it wasn't part of, I guess, the city or whatever would normally give you street lights, so you really had to venture out to have anyone come to our house for trick-or-treating. We didn't usually get many trick-or-treaters. I recall my mother would have a stash of Halloween pencils and other basically non-perishable goods, which is not really what anybody wants. I can't remember if she actually did get candy when it came to Halloween, but I always went to different friends' neighborhood, tried to go to the neighborhood with the good candy. And also, I suppose, the neighborhood that my mother knew felt comfortable enough having other friends' parents take us around or be nearby or whatever, depending on our age. But she had all the stuff I guess nobody wanted, really, because she was like, why stock up? No one's going to come. And so I felt like, as I recall, it seemed like it was more common that we got our trees teepeed on Halloween than we got actual, well-meaning trick-or-treaters. Except for the neighbors' babies and stuff. And so I don't live now at really the end of a long street. I mean, we have streetlights and sidewalks. And I am at the cul-de-sac, and I have a long driveway. But I feel like I just turn my light out, and people understand. Oh, I'm not giving out candy. Although, when I was a kid, I think I was in that determined streak to be like, no, but we should go up. We should go up and ring. Maybe they forgot. We'll just remind them or something. And we would ring doorbells of houses that weren't really there. The other mean thing is that when you couldn't tell whether the scarecrow was an actual scarecrow or somebody dressed up as a scarecrow, I remember getting spooked by those more than once, probably. And go to take some candy. I don't think I've ever had the experience where you find the neighborhood that, or the neighbor, I don't know if it's the whole neighborhood, but there's like the one house that will give like the king size or the full size candy bars out. That's like the jackpot of trick-or-treating, right? I don't know that we ever found that jackpot. For my sweet tooth, though, I always wanted Reese's Cups, another chocolate, but I think Reese's Cups are the best Halloween candy, or just one of the best candies in general. Sorry Not Sorry, I think is their one of their mottos now. They get a little extra hype, I think, in commercials on Halloween. But you end up coming home with your candy stash from your little plastic pumpkin, and you sort it all out on the floor, right? Or maybe your mom feels like she has to check it out, or hopefully you don't feel like you have to take to the police station and x-ray it, goodness. But basically, you end up with all these, you know, just sugar. Sweet tarts and nerds and... Blow Pops, I guess, were okay. But just like bubble gum. And so it was like, oh, that was a lot of work and I only got 5 pieces of chocolate. The other sign, I feel like you're either starting to get too old to trick-or-treat, or if you're giving out treats and you realize it's time to close up for the evening, is when the teenagers with the pillowcases start coming to your door. You're like, okay, clearly the whole spirit of this is a little bit lost on you now, and you're only about the candy. Like, you put on a jersey or something, and just like, why are you even dressed up? But better to give them candy. And it's also a good time to be like, okay, this is probably one of the last trick-or-treaters. You lucked out, buddy. You get a, I'm gonna get like 4 or 5 pieces of what I have left. Put in your pillowcase so I can turn this off and stop answering the door. I know there would be, like, in addition to like the paid haunted houses, there's usually like that one overly excited or super into it house that will put, you know, make their own little haunted house on the corner of the block or something. They have all kinds of people walking around dressed up. That's one of those memories I remember. It was like someone quietly walked up right behind me in a dark, dark night. Dark, dark suburban neighborhood. Totally freaked me out when I turned around. God, just... Why so much fright? All Hallows Eve. Alright. Well, neighbors, we might be able to start carving a design on this pumpkin. She says, looking into the inner part here. Like I said, I think it was a good idea to cut out the bottom. So this hole that I made won't really show and won't take away space from the design. But it's definitely starting to look more yellow than orange in there, like I said. That was the goal. So, move some of these guts up. The other tough part about elaborate Halloween costumes, like if you've ever had a costume with a wig, how much did you hate that by the end of the night? Running around trick-or-treating, or even, you know, you're older, going to a Halloween party, keeping a wig on, or lots of layers, just too hot. Too damn hot. But really, that's another thing I do have against lots of makeup or wigs or something. Just keep it simple. It's fun. But if the elaborate stuff is, it's fun for you, you do you. I guess I usually can keep track of the pop culture references or whatever Disney's latest blockbuster is this year. Like, I remember we had a few years ago, every other kid was Elsa from Frozen, right? So you can keep track of some of that stuff by the Halloween costumes. That show up on your door trick or treat. I wonder what the mix is of people who. The mix of people who dress up when they give out trick or treats. Or dressed festive, or just don't dress at all. You put out your Halloween decorations in addition to your pumpkin. Skeletons, like I said, there are those houses that have basically skeletons crawling all over them. Graveyard sites or gravestones out front and lights and... Oh, I guess the new thing is to have these projector lights. So I think we're about done with these, getting most of the guts out. Here's what the guts sound like now. This just makes me feel a little and like playing with Play-Doh or something to be mixing around all these guts. I'm going to stir them with my spoon here, too, I guess. Okay. So, now for our next step. Okay, I'll be right back. Well, welcome back, neighbors. It appears the gremlins, or some Halloween ghouls, have eaten a good bit of my carving recording. So hopefully you enjoyed the rambles. And I do have a little bit of carving left. So I thought you might actually want to hear some carving sounds. So we're just going to take a little Bob Ross approach to this and say there are no mistakes, only happy accidents, and apparently the universe was just trying to tell me that it was getting late and I needed to walk away from my little pumpkin project, and that's okay. Good life tip, it's okay to walk away when you're getting tired or frustrated. Come back with a clean head, and so that's what we're gonna do. So hopefully you've stuck with me this far. And now that we got the pumpkin all gutted, which I think was most of the rambling thing prior to now, we'll finish off the carving. So I've been working with these little saw tools, something that came out of the carving kit. They're good for detail work. And then I have a larger tool as well. So the design I've been carving is a witch kind of flying over the moon. And go in and clean up some of these edges and finish off the last little bit of our design. I stenciled it on with the little twirly nubby thing that we heard earlier. Here it is still. It's very faint. I don't know if you can hear it, but it's just a little wheel with points on it that I used to trace the design on, and it left little indentations in the pumpkin that I could then take my carving tools and go back over to make this awesome design. So we kind of have the profile of our witch here, and she's kind of cackling in profile against the moon, and I followed the directions while I was doing this. There were some little instructions. Ain't too proud for instructions. So the instructions suggested that you do some of the detailed cuts first. And so that's where I started. I started with the detail work, so that included her eye, and then she has some wisp of hair blowing in the moonlight, and it looks like she's kind of flying on a broom. You can see her hands holding onto a broomstick, so her hair is kind of flying behind her. So we worked on these little hair wisp and a little piece we took out that's kind of like her shoulder. Then I worked on sculpting out or carving out her hands and her broomstick. And so then, once we did those detailed work, we got to starting to get the moon cut out behind her. So kind of cutting out the negative space that the light will shine through. And it's really starting to take shape and look pretty good. And so we have to start working on, and this is one of the pieces I'm still kind of cleaning up here, is her mouth. So she's kind of, like I said, she has this cackling mouth with some tight little corners, I guess. I want to get some of the pieces of pumpkin are a little bit stubborn, but we just took our time and slowly get it out there. Kind of pop these little pieces out, and if you didn't hear me say it before, I think I really like the fact that I cut the bottom, I cut the hole in the pumpkin in the bottom to clean it out, because now as I cut little pieces out, if they fall through, they just fall right to the bottom onto the table, and I don't have to go digging for them, really. That's kind of nice. And she has kind of a funky chin and like a warty nose, like you would expect kind of the ugly old witch that lives down the lane. All those witches get a bad rap. There's, I think it's what Hansel and Gretel's witch leads the kids inside with candy and then cooks them alive. I'm a big fan of Into the Woods, where they do those, the other side of fairy tales, if you've ever seen it. And the witch sings that she's not nice, she's just right. Everybody else is trying to be nice. So I'm just scraping a little bit of the insides of the pumpkin so my cuts are nice and clean. They're not so jagged. And then just kind of trying to clean up some of the little stringy pieces that are hanging on. Occasionally doing this, I've kind of been reminded of, I don't know if I, did I finish that thought, was like having baby teeth that like are just holding on and you kind of have to wiggle and get them to pop out. That's what getting some of these pumpkin pieces out has been like, you know, just slowly go along, and you know, it's some of it, like the moon is a nice long curve, but you end up taking out little chunks at a time so that nothing breaks. And that's why I think they had us do the details first. I thought, well, that makes sense, so everything's structurally sound when you're trying to make these little cuts. And as my pumpkin starts to dry up, I think her nose and her chin are gonna look even more ragged, which is kind of cute. So we'll just call that a happy accident and just keep on going. So then we kind of cut out part of her hat, and that is what the last pieces are that I have here. So just kind of referencing back to my stencil design to decide where I want to start. I guess I'll start Maybe I'll start with the larger one here. Let's start with the position. Of course, she has to have the pointy hat. We just kind of trace along the indentations that we made. Eventually, we're going to have a pretty cool pumpkin, if I do say so myself, that can sit outside and be enjoyed for Halloween. Aha, there you go, got a little sliver. Starting to come out pretty good. My fellow muggles can enjoy this little witchy pumpkin. I think I recorded this part, but like I said, sometimes it's nice to just have a little break from things, and so I think this Halloween, let me just escape somewhere instead of hanging around for trick-or-treaters. So, I don't know, I might put the pumpkin in the back, on the back porch, so it doesn't attract too much attention. So we've got our hat, and then I guess this little piece that comes out over here is sort of like her cape blowing in the wind. See, I got this big chunk, but I don't think I'm going to be able to pull it out in one piece. So just kind of cut through it. And we'll work on it in bite-sized pieces. So glad I still had a little bit of carving left. So you guys could hear this. And hopefully it turns out kind of cool. Are you enjoying it? There we go. Okay, getting there. Starting to look nearly done. It's always making sure there's a few parts of the pumpkin that I think are like just a little, I guess, thicker than others. So, gonna use this longer tool to cut through them. And I'm just scraping little bits into my bowl o' guts. Ah, oh, there we go. I got one of those. There's a good chunk. And here comes his friend. Maybe. There we go. Oh, I'm gonna fall through or come out forward. Oh, there we go. Okay, that's her hat in the moon. Yeah, it's looking pretty good, if I do say so myself. And my plan is to put the visual for you guys on Twitter so you can see this masterpiece that we made at Hottie's house. Next door at Hottie's house. And just share in some wholesome Halloween fun. Yes. Our last piece, our last main section anyway, is going to be this cape. Ah, there we go. And then it's gonna clean up some of those edges again. And you got some of these slivers that you gotta figure out how deep of a sliver to make it so that, in hopes that the candle, the light in our jack-o'-lantern, will illuminate the design the way it is intended, or at least the way we like it. Wipe off some of the gooey parts. See what I need to actually clean up and that looks pretty good, actually. Gotta have a nice festive pumpkin here. I have enjoyed having your company as we did it together. Life gave us a pumpkin and some gremlins, and we made a jack-o'-lantern. That'll be rambles for you. Not quite knowing what you're gonna get. Just looking at the lines again and where there are pieces hanging in the way that we can get out or scrape out like this. I just got a little pile of pumpkin guts underneath this hole, which should be easy to clean up. I got a little tarp down. Almost done. She's got her hat going and her cape flowing through the moon. Just trying to get the right curve on each of these. Just shaving off a little here and a little there. Got a happy, or maybe she's a mad witch, I'm not sure. But she'll be a great little addition to Halloween festivities, as I said. Little bits of pumpkin around. Some fun cleaning up in a bit. I think I kept most of it on the table. Cleaning out the, getting the insides just right. Like I said, oh, nice clean line. So the light goes where we want it, without making too many jagged edges. scraggly, whatever other words we might come up with. There we go. Alright. I think that's gonna work very nicely. That's why we spent so much time gutting it, so get majority of the guts out of the way and make the carving part a little easier. So, well, we may have missed most of it. We got to finish this one together. It looks pretty good, and I have my candle here. Test it out with, so let's give that a try. And here we go. Put it inside. Ha! That's pretty nice. I like it. Awesome. Let's go look at outside. So, thank you for joining me next door as we did this little Halloween project. And I wish you a very happy Halloween.